The mind pulls you back to another. Always trying to write a new story, erasing the known and fills in the hole.
Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with jazz vocalist and musician Eki Shola on the 2026 album Dare to Love Free. We originally caught up with her in 2024, and now she returns with a project that is inspired by her time residing in Japan, London, and California. It's an eclectic 40-track collection that explores the intersection of jazz fusion, R&B, and alt-hip-hop with some dives into house, reggae, and classical. This project is a tribute to those who have paved the way for this musical journey and represents freedom expressed through the wide-ranging musicality and emotional depth, and captures the magic that unfolds when one honors authenticity and through love creates one's own path. We cover this project in a world needing good, evolved music more than ever these days. Enjoy this conversation. But I'm looking forward to getting into it. Last time we got together was in 24, I believe.
Yeah, that's about right.
Okay. Yeah. Time flies when you're having fun, especially with you know, things opening up and right. You know, so much going on. So Dare to Love Free is the new album. It came out on the 29th.
That's right.
Of April.
April.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So in this 2 years it's gone by, it's great to catch up. I'm looking forward to getting into the album. So talk to me a little bit about what was kind of the vision? What were you going after with this album?
There was no vision. It was just literally me at home in Japan writing. And the flow is just coming. There's something very peaceful where I live out there. And it provides just this really nice palette background to create. And I was just writing music, no intention to like put out an album or anything.
Yeah.
And then the songs just kept flowing, Joe. And then I was like, okay, I probably have to stop now because I need to release this. But through it all, certainly a theme did emerge. And that theme was about freedom, and freedom being particularly a mindset, and the freedom to be oneself, freedom to be authentic, freedom to live, freedom to choose love over fear. And around this time, I've been splitting my time in three places: Japan, California, and London.
Okay.
And so each has given a different inspiration. So for California, it's the whole political environment that we're going through. That gave a whole lot of great fodder for social commentary in some of these songs. And in London, I feel like I found one of my musical homes there, because there's so much fusion going on. And ironically, in the same hometown that I was born and raised in, which is East London. I wasn't doing music professionally back then as a kid, obviously, but to come full circle back to my old neighborhood, to be doing music in a realm where you're not pigeonholed by genre and you can fuse however you want, that's been a great source of inspiration. And then Japan, just being in that peaceful, just kind of a peaceful meditative setting.
Yeah. Which we need so much of because of the noise that's happening here in America right now.
I know. Just
epically. That's an interesting slice of the world that you're looking at, because I think about how much is undulating from this country right now between war and immigration and all of these things that we never imagined would become a part of the tapestry. And I think that musicians play a very instrumental role in being societal glue to make us feel as though we're not drifting so far out to sea that we forget what democracy feels like, what a benevolent leadership feels like to take care of their people. So how has that been for you in each of these different living spaces for you? How much does it change when you go from, you know, whether it's the UK, Japan, America, how much of that influences the way that you create and do what you're doing?
Right. Well, you realize that we're not acting is one, right? And so there are ripple effects.
Yes.
When I travel, the politics don't leave. It's a global issue. It's affecting us all. And as a musician, especially one who has the fortune, I guess, of traveling around, music and just the arts in general reminds me how much more similar we are than different, and reminds me of the unity of music, even if it's instrumental without words or there's language barriers. We have that rhythm within us that we can all tap into and connect over. And especially, as controversial as it is with AI and the advent of that, and there's nothing, it can't provide emotions, it can't provide feelings. We can do that. And so I find that, yes, we can focus on the divisiveness, but where is that going to get us? It's just depressing. And so through the music as an artist, it's a reminder for myself and hopefully for my audience that we can still come together. And again, we share so much more in common than the media would have us believe.
And I want to hone in on that freedom part. When you say freedom, and there's so many different styles of music that kind of blend into your sound. When you say freedom, do you does that is that full body? Does that encompass kind of the way that we roam as humans or the way we create? How is that representative in this
Yeah,
album?
that's a great question. I think sonically, for this triple album, it's the genre. So it's tapping into reggae, R&B, hip hop, spoken word, classical, jazz, and then what I call ekishoalisms. I don't know what they fall into. And I think beyond that, so let me go back. The reason why I went into music professionally was back in 2012. My mom had passed away from cancer. It was unexpected. And she had 6 months essentially, and it was most beautiful yet most difficult time to be with her, to be able to take care of her, but also and to spend time with her. But it was hard. And I never hit rock bottom before, until being in the depths of grief. And I remember one day just driving on the way home, and I remember hearing there was an NPR interview, and the journalist was interviewing a physician who worked with patients with PTSD, and the physician was saying there was nothing that he could say, nothing that he could prescribe as a physician that could help his patients. It came from those patients themselves, the determination, the will. And I was like, at that point, a switch just flipped in my head, Joe. I was like, oh, wait, I have a choice here. I have a choice in the way I want to feel. Because up until that point, I didn't feel that way. And so since then, it's just a reminder of, yes, bad stuff happens, right? That's inevitable to all of us, but we have a choice of how we want to respond to it and how we want to feel. So that's part of the album, Dare to Love Free, meaning freedom also is a state of mind. And we can all tap into that. We can all harness that. And I think musically, I hope, and again, it wasn't intentional. It was just writing music that just felt right in the moment. I hope that sonically it represents that.
It's, when you were explaining that story about having the choice and you hit this point where you're trying to find hope, I remember a documentary on David Grohl, and he went to a remote place. It was like in the Middle East, and he was trying to get away from all of the noise after Kurt died and just trying to figure out if he wanted to play music anymore. And he was driving down this road, and there was a kid that had a Nirvana shirt on. And he was like, if I can, if this
Isn't that a
music
sign?
came, it was the sign, and he came back. And when he came back, that's when the Foo Fighters started. But it was that moment where he had to have some level of confirmation that a doctor or a medical professional or a pill or anything was not going to do. There's sometimes you have to go on this vision quest
That's right.
that is completely improv and
Yes.
just run into it whenever the divinity speaks into your ear.
That's right. That's
You know?
right. So true.
So at the end of the day, what are you ultimately hoping the listener gets from this album?
I want them to create their own story, to create their own interpretation. I feel like so many times, yes, we all have a story as an artist, and we're encouraged to share that. But this time around, I want the listener to take it in for themselves and create the meaning for themselves. Because if I dictate that, it takes away the essence. I think it also takes away the power of the listener in terms of like, this is not paternalistic. I shouldn't have, I don't want to tell you how you should feel from this song or what it means, but I want you to generate that for yourself. That's part of the magic of the art world, I think, right? We can look at something and it means completely different to different people. That's the beauty of it.
For sure. You know, you touched a little bit on AI when we interviewed before. I don't think it was barreling at us at an Indiana Jones speed. It wasn't
I
like something
know.
we need. And now it's here. And I wonder, as a creative, how you deal and how you absorb how this is happening. Because you touched on the fact that it's void of judgment and emotion and things that are uniquely human. But there are parts of it that are intriguing that can actually aid and be a part of a more powerful creative expression.
I think that I agree, and I agree with that. It's funny you say that because I was at an event last weekend, and the people that I was sitting at the table, we just started talking, and one of them was just like, "Oh, we found this amazing artist, and we just love her music, and you should check her out." And she's just like blowing it up right now, and she's AI. I was like, So I was like, tell me the name when you get the chance. And then I have yet to look her up. I'm curious. But what they said was she's a Spanish jazz singer. And they said before AI, there really wasn't anyone singing jazz in Spanish. So it's kind of opened up their musical realm. And I was like, I never looked at it that way. So there are pluses, for sure. And I'm just really curious. Now I'm gonna go check
It's well,
out the singer.
and there's actresses too. There's a gal named Polly in Hollywood that is a complete AI constructed. And in Hollywood, all of the SAG, all of the unions are just absolutely beside themselves. But it's just like it's this woman and
An AI actress?
an AI actress. So it's like they're like, you don't have to pay them. They're always on time. They never miss a line. Everything. And it's a complete AI thing. So now, along with kind of Hollywood going through this kind of grumble of not having as much work, they have to compete against these robots now that are coming in and taking over. It's wild. Very
That's
wild.
crazy.
So before we got on here, we had discussed the book that I am reading right now, called Jazz in Japan, talking about, what's going on. I'm curious. In each of those locales that you go between, live music is such a big thing. What live shows have you seen lately that have kind of made an impression on you that kind of pays credence to that idea that, like, especially with Miles at 100, I think about the evolution of modern music and modern jazz. What have you been seeing that's an inspiration that you've really loved lately?
I have seen a live performance in Japan of an artist who plays electric guitar amp to the max. Like your eardrums want to bleed, but it sounds so damn good. And he keeps cranking up the volume throughout the show. And then you're in it and it surrounds you. And then the harmonics start going off. And it would be what you would, I guess, be, you know, if you had to pigeonhole it, would be noise. But it's not noise, because within the noise, you hear the patterns and you hear the melodies and the harmonies blend. And then he does a Japanese traditional form of dancing, buto, to it. And I cry every time I see him perform. Wow. I love it. I would love to perform with him.
That's really cool.
And so that's one. And then in London a few months ago, they had the EFG Jazz Festival. So there's like jazz artists performing in different venues across London over several weeks. And I remember seeing one artist, I'm blanking on her name, but she had a, it looked like it was an, well, she was just introducing new people in her, you know, people that she had found. Like one was a, I think he was he in a, I think he was an accordion player. She'd found him on YouTube. Anyway, she was featuring different artists and just bringing them in and saying, hey, this is who I like, this is who I'm featuring. And she also explained as she was performing during, between her set, she's like, look, you know, I'm still learning in this game. She's probably in her late 50s. And she's like, I never know what's going to happen. I'm still experimenting. We'll see how it goes. I'm learning. But she was so open.
Yeah.
And it wasn't showy and like was so down to earth.
Yeah.
And that just came through the music. And then just her generosity featuring other artists and in blends that you wouldn't necessarily think would go together.
Yeah.
So that was encouraging to see. Yeah.
So here in the last couple of days, we're absorbing the fact that Mr. Sonny Rollins has left us. And I'm curious, the thing about his legacy, and I think it's a lot of musicians that are titans and legends like him that leave us. There's this idea of the music, but there's more of this humanity that radiated from him. He was such a wonderful human being at his core. What kind of influence did Sonny, his music and the way he was, how did that affect the way that you've carried on in your career?
I don't know if it did, because I did not listen to Sonny.
Okay. Okay.
So I'm not, I know the name, but I'm not familiar with the music.
Gotcha.
Okay. So if you have any recommendations on where to start.
You should do The Bridge. That's
The Bridge.
At the height of his powers, he stepped away from the game and played underneath the Brooklyn Bridge for years and then came back and released this album. And it's kind of a spiritual soul quest, so to speak. There's such a depth that goes into this album. So yeah, that would be a good one to pick up for sure.
I will tap into that. Thank you.
You bet.
Who I have been listening to is when I listen, I don't know, it takes me a long time to get through music because I have it on repeat for like months and months and months. And then it's like until I get tired of it and then I go. So, but Mary Lou Williams, I will never get tired of.
She was amazing. Like,
I know.
She was crazy. Just like so crazy good. But at a time when all of that gender and racial issues were just not going to allow her. I interviewed a guy that wrote a book on Kansas City jazz. His name is Con Chapman. And I brought up her specifically, and he told me that she was on a bus And she had all of her keepsakes when she was like from Pittsburgh that were like heirlooms from her family. And somebody messed with it and stole something and she quit. She completely quit. She was like, I'm out. Like, along with all of the other things that she had to deal with. But that was like her breaking point. Like, she was like, I can't be around. And I think at that time, that was when Jazz kind of had that underbelly of drugs and drinking, and a lot of abuse was going on. And of course, the misogyny and those things mixed into a toxic soup, and she just stepped away. But I've always felt like she was probably one of the most profound voices that's ever been in jazz, ever. Easy.
I know. And I don't know if you've listened to her, not good with album names, but the song is called Credo. And it's on an album which is like operatic and spiritual and jazz and gospel and funk and blues. I mean, she blows my mind. And I mean, of course, her piano playing is just amazing. So,
I think she got to a real spiritual place there at the
yes.
end.
She did.
And that's wonderful. I think that's a good way, after everything that she went through, to kind of cleanse her soul, so to speak.
That's right.
But her legacy would have been a lot different if she was any other incarnation of human. But at
I
the same
know.
time, I think the strength of her spirit was that she still fought and she
That's
still
right.
created I mean, because Kansas City, you know, they always talk about how, you know, people came from different cities and grew up jazz speaking in Kansas City. And I think that was her. She left Pittsburgh and hooked up with Lester Young and a lot of those cats and really kind of grew here. But So if anybody wants to pick up a copy of your album, is Bandcamp the best place?
The absolute best place.
Okay, good. That's what I figured. And then live shows, the warm months are upon us. No matter where you're going in the world, the warm months are here. If people want to catch you live, any of the other good business, where do they go?
My website, www.ekishola.com. So all of my shows are listed there.
Okay, excellent. Eki, it's always so good to be able to galvanize these interview relationships and for you to come back. It's so good. So I'm looking forward to shouting this from the mountaintops. So thank you for coming back to the show. I really
Thank you
appreciate
for
it.
having me. It's
Yes.
been a true pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in Japan, London, California, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. And thanks to Eki for coming back by the show. If you want to hear more Neon Jazz interviews, you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to us at YouTube. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to the neonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Remind yourself and keep holding on.
Neon Jazz.